How connected our children are to smartphones remains a vexed issue for many of us. And where the debate really heats up is in the use of phones in schools. New South Wales banned mobile phones in primary schools late last year, and high schools can also ban them if they so choose. Other schools around Australia are taking a stand on an individual basis and banning the devices. But what are the pros and cons of making such a decision on such widely used technology? That's our talkback topic today, and we want to hear from you. Should smartphones be allowed in the classroom and the playground? A couple of guests to discuss this important issue for our children and also for our education system. Dr. Danielle Einstein is a clinical psychologist whose research fields include anxiety and uncertainty. Danielle also runs programs in schools. And Danielle, hello.
Hi, Michael.
Good to have you with us. And also with us is Dr. Joanne Orlando. Joanne is a senior lecturer at Western Sydney University and an educator and consultant who's got a particular interest in digital literacy. Joanne, welcome as well.
Hello.
I'm going to start with you, Joanne. What is your view on this New South Wales ban on smartphones in primary schools? Do you think that's appropriate?
I think it's quite a controversial decision, and a lot of people are very divided in whether we should have phones in schools or not. So New South Wales has gone down the track of really encouraging schools not to include mobile phone use. But, you know, we have to think of the purpose of schools in society. Mm-hmm. So the purpose is to prepare children to live well in the area in which they're growing up in. And we know that technology, and particularly phones, are a big part of our era. So children need to be able to manage phones well and to use them safely, but also to use them really productively. So if we're banning phones from schools, then when do they have the opportunity to learn those skills, which we know are really vital for today?
Oh, that's interesting. So you actually take the view that smartphones have a place if they're used judiciously in the school system.
Absolutely. So I don't mean phones on desks and kids can check their Insta feed whenever they want. Definitely not that. But they do have a place and they can be used really well educationally. So there's a lot of new skills that we know kids need to learn today, as opposed to the kinds of skills they were learning in school in the 1960s or 1970s. And those skills predominantly do focus on using technology. And because phones are often the device of choice, because of their mobile factor, they have to be able to learn to use those just as well as they have to be able to learn to use a laptop. So it's when a teacher decides it's a good resource to use that will actually enhance that particular part of the lesson. So not all the times, but it does have a great place.
Joanne, you just mentioned laptops. If you have laptops on desks, which is pretty much throughout education systems across all states and territories, one could argue, why do you need a phone?
That's right. One could also argue, why do we need a laptop? It's the same kind of thing. It's just that the mobile phone is normally the child's personal device, but a lot of schools have gone down the BYOD track, which is bring your own device. So it would be a child's own laptop or their own iPad. And in many families, of course, there's the equity issue that they can't afford to buy multiple devices. So, you know, the child has just got their mobile phone.
And that is operating as a tool for digital literacy in all kinds of ways, is what you're saying, in some
cases. That's
right.
All things learning plus, you know, personal life as well.
Do you think many primary schools around the country would be allowing smartphones in the playground or class anyway? Or are these bans in New South Wales kind of after the horse has bolted because those bans are kind of being imposed on an individual school basis anyway?
I think in primary schools, it's a little bit of a different situation than in secondary schools. But, you know, I think times are changing as well. So the average age for a child to own their first mobile phone is around that 9 or 10 year old mark. And often parents are buying it because the kids are coming home on the bus or they're walking home from school. So there is that safety element. But the primary schools that I have contact with often don't use it as part of the learning as much. It's much more in the secondary school context that it's happening.
Danielle Einstein, as a clinical psychologist, do you take Joanne's view on this as well? Or do you see it from a different perspective when it comes to the kinds of brain patterning and behaviours that phones inspire amongst young people?
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, I guess I do have a slightly different view. I think it is our responsibility in schools to educate students and staff, in fact, on how to use phones in a healthy way. And so I actually have developed a program which is being used and which does this, but it doesn't actually require phones being in the classroom in order for us to understand the factors that actually compromise our mental health and our well-being.
What are your main concerns about them?
So when it comes to screen use, there's an issue with the amount of screen use that students and, in fact, adults have. And we can see in teenagers, in fact, that there's a difference between 14 to 17-year-olds who are using who spend all their time or too much time on screens in terms of their ability to stay calm, to finish tasks, to remain curious, and also their tendency to argue and how easy they are to be looked after by their caregivers. So we can sort of see that 1 to 2 hours per day is really the optimum phone use, and that's what is recommended or device use.
Is that for all ages of children?
That's been taken up as being the guidelines for children. I think it's over 5 or 6. And I guess the other side of it is there's an issue with actually addiction. There's an issue with depression, with anxiety. There's an issue with our culture understanding how to use phones in a way that promotes healthy well-being and connection with others, as opposed to using phones and turning to them all the time to manage our emotions, to manage boredom, to manage frustration, and ending up then in a situation in which phones can be linked and devices can be linked to depression, they can be linked to anxiety. In our research, we've actually seen that parents sometimes use phones too much just to check in on how their kids are going, and that when parents are checking all the time on whether their children have arrived safely at places, those are the children that are saying they've got more separation anxiety.
Oh, that's interesting. I want to come back to some of those issues you've just sort of prefaced for us there, Danielle. But I just want to also mention, if you'd like to get involved in this, we'd love to hear from you. We're asking you, what are the pros and the cons, not just the cons, but the pros as well, of having smartphones in schools amongst students, whether they be high school or primary school, or do you make a distinction between? Marnie has done just that. She's on the Sunshine Coast. Marnie, you're a parent. How's it going for you?
Oh, like many of my friends, it's a battle.
And what are you battling against? What's going on?
Well, we have two boys. One is 12 and he's in year 7, so he's first year of high school. The second is year 4, so he's still obviously in primary.
All right, so you've got the model of both sectors of education there to compare on behaviour, really.
Yes, and you know, I am so grateful, and my husband, that both the schools don't allow mobile phones. Like, I think we're the only, they both go to state schools, and the high school is the only one just about that doesn't allow the kids to carry phones around.
At all? So not even
at
in
all.
The playground?
No.
And how did your older son deal with that?
Well, he wasn't happy because he's got friends in other schools and their high schools allow it. And at first he was like, you know, he's not happy, wasn't happy about it, but he just has to deal with it. We only allowed him to have a phone this year because both of them, the struggle to get them off of screens.
Right, so you're actually thankful that the school's helping you enforce a policy you're absolutely in support of.
Totally, and I read a book called Glow Kids by a psychologist in America, and they liken it to a car. We don't have our kids in primary school and early high school driving around in cars. Like, even though it's going to be an essential part of life for most of us here. Mm. And they say, you know, it is yet to be seen the full impact that this continual exposure is going to have on them. And that's scary.
Can I?
Sorry. Michael, can I just make ask something?
Please do.
I'm just wondering, you said Marnie, it was a bit of a struggle for you at home. I'm just wondering, if the phones are banned in schools, in your son's high school, then what's the struggle that you're experiencing at home?
Oh, just getting them off, like keeping them off of screens, like always trying to have something planned, getting them off, because, again, they get into that thing where, oh, my friends are doing it. Like, our son is one of the last of his friends to get a phone, and the pressure is there to have a phone. And then it's just a continual, like, well, everything else is boring, like trying to get them to get
that's
out
a real
and
issue.
Do meet up with their friends. Oh, no, my friends are online. They won't want to go out. That's dumb. So,
Marnie, thank you so much for those insights. Joanne, Danielle, any thoughts on further thoughts on that?
I'd like to comment. Just Marnie mentioned that her older son had friends at other schools, and I think that's really important to think about. Are we wanting to build a school community within our school, a school community in which kids are actually communicating and talking to each other face-to-face in the playground, building those social skills and not excluding other people or just having the excuse of having a phone in front of their face, which means that if they feel a little bit anxious, a bit uncomfortable, or if they want to connect with people outside of school, that's an option for them, which actually leads to a problem in the school playground itself. Mm. And when we've seen schools that have gone from not having a ban in the school playground to having a ban in the school playground, I actually hear those schools saying that there's actually more chatter in the playground, that the noise level goes up, and the number of students coming to the counsellors saying they're having trouble with social media and bullying type issues and emotional issues coming from that goes down as well.
I want to talk more about those issues, including bullying and distraction, soon, but let's take some more calls because Rhonda's in Torquay and Rhonda's at the front line of this because you're a science and maths teacher, Rhonda.
Yeah, that's right. I suppose I've been listening and definitely agree with everything that's been said. But just from my perspective and just a very narrow window of what I experience as a teacher, I spend an awful lot of time and energy policing the inappropriate use and distraction from learning. So you've got students using their phones inappropriately for a start, and while they're doing that, they're not actually learning anything. So they're just not learning, not doing their work, just sitting there playing with their phones. And then what this creates is an enormous relationship battle with the students. So there you've got some students that are doing the right thing and you've got others that aren't. And some teachers just go, well, look, if they want to sit in a corner and use their phone, even though it's not, they're not allowed to, the school policy is not. So it's
I was going to ask if the school policy is not to have phones operating in the classroom.
Yeah, they're allowed to have them in their pocket, and students can't resist, you know, if they get a message or something, they can't resist looking at their phone and they can't resist texting straight back. They just can't. They can't help it. They need to be taught to be able to refrain, but it's the teachers that, you know, you either end up with battles with students, which is not good for learning environment, or you have some teachers that just give up and let the students that want to do it, but then the other students get very upset because they go, well, how come they're allowed to use their phone? So it's just this enormous problem. And then, and I think what's happening, because I have a daughter that works in hospitality, she's 28.
Right.
She works with a number of other people. And
ooh.
All of the younger people that come and work there, the 18-year-olds that work at their restaurant, are constantly checking their phones when they should be serving customers. So,
if you start in schools, I guess what you're saying there, Rhonda, is you find it being a behaviour. You find it being a behaviour that keeps going after school as well. We've heard from a teacher. We've heard from a parent. Now let's hear from a student. Emily is 14 years old. She's in grade 9 near Toowoomba in Queensland. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
What's going on in your school with this?
My school recently made the rules around carrying phones a lot stricter. Previously, it was just if you were seen with a phone, you would have like a 3-strike policy and then it would be taken to the office and your parents had to pick it up. Now, if a phone is seen at all, you get suspended instantly.
Suspended instantly? Wow, that's pretty draconian. And how's that gone on? How's that been responded to by the student body? How are people reacting?
It's been really good, actually. The transition has been a lot easier than I thought it would be. I don't bring a phone to school, but I use one. And I've seen, like, on social media, kids used to take mirror selfies a lot at school in their school uniforms with their emblems visible. And there's a lot less of those now, so I think it's safer, which is good. And kids also used to walk around with, like, speakers connected to their phones and play music.
Right. So but it was now, distracting. But also, you're saying there, Emily, because people were taking selfies where you could see what the school was on the uniform, that was leaving them vulnerable to perhaps outside interference.
Yeah.
Right. And do you reckon that there's been any issues in your school around bullying using smartphones?
There have been a few issues that have been pretty isolated, like it's not a widespread thing through the school, but it's always been an issue that the schools try to keep up with, and they've been, you know, there's been a lot of talk, but now there's been action. There's less bullying on social media, which is good.
Emily, it sounds like you're very much a supporter.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We might go to another student in Sydney. Charlotte's in Year 7. And Charlotte, you don't like smartphones in schools either.
No, I don't.
How come?
Well, when I started Year 7, everyone thought it was so cool that you had your phones, and everyone was just sitting on their phones. And so you never really got to talk with anyone or make friends because everyone was just on their phone the whole time.
So you just found that conversation wasn't happening at all?
No, because they were all on their phones.
So what's happened since? Is there a ban in place in your school now?
No, everyone's still on their phones.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It sounds like you would really like to see this change.
Yeah, I would, because it's hard to make friends when everyone's just on their phone.
So have you talked to your friends about this and said maybe we can get off our phones and have a real conversation?
Yeah, I did, but they still wanted to be on their phone.
Well, Charlotte, it sounds like you're fighting a fight, you know, that might be hard to overcome. But thank you so much for thinking about it from that perspective. Can I just ask you before you go, do you use your smartphone in your classroom for learning?
No.
So no classrooms allowed to have phones out while you're in class?
Yeah. Our teachers are very strict on not having your phones in class. But at recess and lunch, you're still allowed them.
Great to talk to you, Charlotte. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
That's Charlotte, who's in Year 7 in Sydney. So much to talk about here with our guest, Dr. Joanne Orlando, who's a senior lecturer in digital literacy, and Dr. Danielle Einstein, who's a clinical psychologist. Danielle, I might come back to you on this first, because, and Joanne, I'll get to you too, but what is it about phones? Just remind us, what is it that's triggering in our brains, no matter what age we are, when phones light up and instantly respond to our commands? What's that doing to our brains?
Well, it's affecting, we get a spike of dopamine just before we check our phones. And we see smartphone addiction as being even stronger in teenagers than it is with young adults. So we're looking at a developing brain. And I guess the other really important thing to think about is actually the effect which we're starting to understand on retention of information that's learnt in the classroom.
Right.
Which comes, like, is it actually better if we have a device there and if some of our friends have devices in front of them and they're being distracted during class? What we're actually seeing is that those around them are more affected in a bad way in terms of their learning and in terms of their test performance later than the kids that are actually on their phones at the time. Our comprehension at the time isn't impaired, but our memory later when we're sitting and doing exams down the track is actually affected. And it seems to be in recent studies that have been done that that study was with uni students, is that those uni students who are in classes where devices were allowed got 7% less in their final exam compared to the classes where phones weren't allowed.
And just to clarify, Danielle, did you say it was people around the phone user who had worse results because of the distraction of the phone in their area?
That's the second part of our understanding, is that in fact, if you do a different study in which is looking at what's the impact of someone on a device and the people around them, that it's actually the people around them that get more distracted, and it's maybe because the people around them don't choose when to surf the internet or et cetera. So they're not choosing to opt out of the lesson and look. They're just being distracted by this other person who's in their eyesight.
The analogy that it reminds me of is passive smoking.
Yeah, maybe. It's really interesting research is coming out. And what makes me really upset is sometimes we're seeing in the media a study saying, there was an article, I think, in the Sydney Morning Herald saying that phones are no worse than eating potatoes. And there was another there was another study recently also saying, look, that the effect is so minimal on our mental health that we shouldn't be paying attention. But I had a look in close detail at that study, and that study didn't actually measure the amount of time that the people in the study were spending communicating with friends and family on the internet. They just didn't count that.
Right. Well, look, so many more people want to talk to us, and I'll come to those calls in a minute. But Joanne, as a digital literacy expert in this field, I was reading that some of the reactions and concerns raised about the ban of mobile phones in primary schools was that it was preventing students from getting the digital literacy skills they needed, but also it stopped them from learning the skills around multitasking, which I thought was disproven to be anywhere near being effective anyway. What's your position on this?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting perspective. So we can think about this from screen time and kids spending too much time on a screen, or we can think about it in terms of, you know, the pleasure hit, the dopamine hit in their brain. But it's a much, much more complex thing. You know, just because we're using a screen, it's not a one size fits all. We pick up a device and that's it, because there's lots of different things on our screen. So that's really important, what's on there. But yes, in order to live well today, kids need to learn how to be safe online. So we know that, and a lot of thought and action is going into that. But they also need to learn how those skills that we need for today, and they're often called 21st century skills, and they're things like problem solving, working in teams, being a creative thinker, multitasking, using a variety of resources, many of which will be a digital resource. So digital literacy is about all of that. So that's something that we really need to learn in schools today. So leaving it to parents to do at home, okay, well that might work, but I think there's a lot of ad hoc kind of education that will go on there.
Yeah.
Kids need to learn in the context.
We also need to talk about teachers being equipped to do that, and I might come back to you on that later if we can. The pros and cons of mobile phone use in schools, whether it be in secondary or primary. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. Michelle's in Brisbane. Michelle, what's been your experience?
Well, I agree with Dr. Danielle Einstein, and not so much with Dr. Joanne. I feel that skills for today are not really needed to be taught with respect to mobile phones, because kids often know how to use them better than adults anyway. My experience is that a lot of parents are quite worried about schools having mobile phones. A friend's granddaughter was taking one to school for the first time. She's only a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And the parents were persuaded into that course because, oh, if the school says it's okay, it must be okay, and maybe it's safer for her to have one. Well, it turned out it wasn't safer, because this child happens to be particularly beautiful. She was travelling on a bus, and a male student, much older, from another school, made contact with her on the bus and persuaded her to give him her phone number.
Oh, no.
And next thing, they had arranged, this was within the first couple of weeks of school, the girl had been persuaded to go to a certain place to meet with this student, and it was sheer chance that the parents found out, because they came to pick her up that day instead of allowing her to walk to a certain location.
So this is where mobile phones become a weapon for predatory behaviour.
Exactly. So the safety issue is two-sided. I think there's absolutely no doubt that the addiction issue exists, and it's more severe with some students than with others. Mm. I think there's a time-wasting issue. I think what is really never talked about is the health issue, because within Australia, papers, there's very little publication about the possible long-term health effects for students who've had exposure from a very early age, because this is the first generation. But there is plenty of evidence around for those who look carefully at the research to indicate the health risk does exist. Already there is a very small percentage of students, even of young age, who headache in the vicinity of mobile phones or other high signals. If schools are going to be teaching skills for the 21st century, let them confine it to laptops rather than mobile phones, because in general, the laptop is at a greater distance from the body, and you've not got the health risk of a kid walking around all day with a turned-on mobile phone in the top pocket, even if they don't look at it. If it's on, it's talking to the mobile phone tower quite frequently.
Michelle, thank you for that. Thanks very much for taking the time to give us a call on that. And look, it is such a tricky situation. I think we need to discuss, and we haven't done that yet, Danielle, the impact of bullying. And Michelle has brought up a point of an older student using a phone for predatory behaviour, which is, you know, obviously sinister and terrifying in the end. But bullying through social media, trolling, is a real issue with smartphones. Does taking them out of schools change that?
Look, as I mentioned before, I really think we need to be teaching students about how to use their phones and about the psychological factors that draw them into using their phones too often or too much or in ways that are unhealthy. Phones are healthy. I agree with Jane, there are ways in which we use our phones which are fine and which enhance our life. Adults know this, students know this. But when we really break it down and look at the sorts of factors that draw us in, it's not just understanding the dopamine hit, it's also understanding the compulsion to be connected to friends and how that makes us feel. So when it comes to teaching about bullying and teaching about all the different factors that pull us to communicating with different people, people that we don't know via our phones or via the internet, we just need to have really good programs that both the staff understand and are able to deliver and that students learn about. But what I want to keep saying is we do not need our phones in the classroom to teach that, those skills and that program.
Joanne, I'll come back to you soon. I just want to take a call here. I think I'm going to Jeff in Eltham. No, we're not going to Jeff. Okay, we're going to Andrew. Andrew, hi. You're a school principal. You've written a policy for a school, in fact, your school, that's banned them.
Yeah, well, we had to do that about 10 years ago because we had a few very bad incidents where people had borrowed one another's phones and contacted parents and sort of made claims about being in trouble at school, and parents had stormed into the office and sort of said, what's going on? And it caused an enormous risk and hullabaloo at the school. So we had to take a blanket policy to that, which was very successful in the end.
And so did students rise up for a while and then calm down?
It was right on the cusp of where smartphones sort of came in, so they weren't as powerful as they are now. There was a few kids and parents who were upset about it, but when they knew that the kids were safe and when they knew they could contact them if they really needed them, it sort of went away very quickly.
So are you happy with what's happened in the school now in terms of learning uptake? Have you noticed anything anecdotally that's changed?
What we have noticed is, I'll tell you one story, is that when students come to our school to enrol from other schools, the parents breathe a huge sigh of relief that we've got a ban on phones because they know in other schools they're a huge distraction.
Right. Well, Andrew, thank you very much to hear from a school principal. I think we've covered pretty much every stakeholder in education when it comes to smartphones today, which is fantastic. Students, principals, teachers and parents. And my guests today are Dr. Joanne Orlando and Dr. Danielle Einstein. Joanne, can I come back to you on this now? Because you're a proponent of digital literacy, making sure that people have the skills in place to be able to discipline their behaviour and use phones as constructive tools. Are teachers, in a widespread way, equipped to deal with that kind of demand on digital literacy?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and that's a really important part of this puzzle. Well, I teach, you know, student teachers in my course at university, and that's exactly what I teach them. So the new generation of teachers coming up hopefully will have those digital literacy skills. But, you know, also our uses of technology, the devices we're using, that's continually changing as well. So all of us, you know, teachers, kids, everyone in the community, we need to also keep developing our digital literacy skills. It's not this one-off lesson that we take and that's it, it'll last us for life. We have to keep paying attention and keep looking at our own technology habits, thinking about them, working out how to improve it. So it's very much at a school level, but it's also at an individual level as well, I think.
Look, it's been a great conversation. I really appreciate your insights, Joanne and Danielle, and thank you so much for taking part today.
Thank you.
And thank you also to everyone who's both phoned in and commented on Facebook. We'll get to some of those comments later. You're listening to RN. My name's Michael McKenzie, and this is Life Matters.